So there we go. Frank, let's introduce our guest.
Well, yeah, and I want to just remind everybody that we don't. This is episode 913 of these calls we've done. And I can count on like one hand or two hands how many times Mr. Larry Smith has been on here.
I know, enough.
He is so popular, and he's always been there. We've asked him to be there. And
always.
You know, a lot of people think everybody comes to Teresa and I for advice. We go to Larry.
We go to Larry,
and then we pass it on to you. So
that's right. In fact, Larry was our first trainer the day we signed up.
Yep.
We went to our Fast Start training, and he was our trainer.
The very first day we ever heard about Leadership.
That's right.
We went to Fast Start the day we started Leadership. We were in Dallas, I think.
I think it was Dallas, yes.
Dallas, and I don't think he was married to Don.
No, he didn't know Don.
He wasn't as nice as he is now. He was rude, crude, and socially attractive.
Right. He was not.
Since he's married Donnie, he straightened his act out.
We do love Donnie. And here's a great thing. You're going to hear him probably recap his story, but here's something that you can take note of. Yes, he's a $500,000 ring earner today, but he began his business with a hot check. I'm telling you.
It's an
incredible story. He's been the RVP, Network Vice President of California. He did that for a while. He is one of the Platinum Council members. The Home Office listens when he speaks, and so do all of us. We really do.
Larry, I'm going to make a suggestion to you. You ought to tell people, and I do this all the time. We've been here about almost 18 years now, and we've seen thousands of people start this business out of their piggy bank, and he built it into a biggie bank.
Yeah.
And this guy really didn't even have a piggy bank, but he built it into a biggie bank anyway.
Yeah.
And he's gathered wealth, and he's grown his wealth, and he's protected his wealth, and I'm sure he's going to pass on his wealth when he gets done.
And tonight, I know if you listen close, everybody, you're going to hear some. You're going to get some ideas on how to increase your exposures, how to be more comfortable with them.
Some verbiage, you mean?
Yes, and that's how we get our performance club points. That's how we get counters. You know, it's introducing people to the opportunity and the service, and he is just genius.
Opening at it. Lines mm-hmm. is genius at.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I mean, he and Donnie are some of our favorite people to hang with, and all of just dear friends, and all of Legal Shield. So, Larry, thank you so much. Appreciate the time we had on the phone yesterday, and I certainly appreciate you being on the phone for everybody tonight. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa and Frank. It's always fun. And Frank, you never cease to amaze me. You can always think of stuff to say that's funny. Yeah, but you know, I don't know how you do it. You ought to be on the comedian's role in Cancun for our big party. Y'all talk to Kim about that.
Yeah.
We're going to let Steve Milia handle that. I think he's funny because his timing is so terrible.
Exactly. Well, listen, it's every you know, I listen to Ron and Norma and just congratulate them and all the people on the call that have done such a great job. And, you know, I know you told me I didn't have to come on to like 6:20 or something my time, but I like to get on when the call starts and just listen to all the exciting things going on, because there's nothing more exciting than hearing associates having success and hearing the people that are really driving their business. And tonight I want to talk about that for a little bit, if you don't mind. And I want to just, you know, kind of open it, because I know there's a lot of people on the call. I know there's a lot of people that may not have heard my story. So I'm just going to be brief with it. But what Teresa said was true. I started this company, and just briefly, I bought the membership of Legal Shield prepaid back then when I was in December of 1995, when I still had a corporate job, because, you know, when the guy told me that I could, the guy happened to be Michael Dorsey, but when he told me I could get a last will and testament and a living will and a healthcare power of attorney free with my membership, and there was no contractual obligation, I really just thought, because I'd only used an attorney once in my life, and I didn't really think I needed the service, but I had children. I knew I needed the estate planning documents. And so when he told me that basically I'd save $700 to $1,000 for doing that, I said, you know what, I'm in. This is a real easy decision. And I bought the membership and thought, if I don't use it, you know, I'll just opt out because there is no contractual obligation. But 3 weeks after I bought the membership, when I was employed, the company I worked for closed down. And 3 weeks later, you know, by the way, when they closed down, I became unemployed. So I went from six figures to zero literally overnight. And at that time in my life, I had no financial education. I knew how to make money. And I all ever thought about was making money, not what I did with the money. And I was, you know, a lot of people say they live check to check. That's the way I'd lived for a lot of years in my corporate jobs, and sometimes check between check. And so as I made more money, I was simply broke at a higher level. And so when the job ended, I certainly didn't have a whole lot of money to fall back on. And so I immediately went out and started thinking, I've got to do something different, because I realized after 20 years of jobs in corporate America, even though I'd started entry level and gone all the way to the top, what I had was 20 years of experience and no cash. And that wasn't going to work for me for the next 20 years of my life. I knew I had to do something different, didn't even know what I was going to do. But instead of jumping back out looking for a big, responsible job, I just took a couple part-time jobs. I took a job sacking groceries at a grocery store. I took a job throwing a 3:30 a.m. paper route. And I did that so I could just put some food on the table, pay my necessities, and figure out what I was going to do. And literally 3 weeks later, I took a ring to a jeweler to have some work done on it. And he actually ruined the ring, and he wouldn't do anything about it. And, you know, we've all been treated unfairly before. And clear enough, I walked out of a store all frustrated, and I thought, what about that legal thing I bought? And so I called a law firm and spent 45 minutes on the phone with an attorney. I'm sorry about the incoming call. I spent 45 minutes on the phone with an attorney who asked me a whole bunch of questions, and then she just said, give me the guy's name and phone number and let me call him. And I said, well, how much does that cost? And she said, it's all part of your monthly membership cost. So she makes a phone call on my behalf. She calls me back 15 minutes later. People ask me all the time, what did she say to him? What did she say? I don't know. I've got a high school GED. I've never been to college. I'm certainly never been to law school. I don't know how any of this works. I just know that when I call, I get results. And so when she called me back, she said, I'm going to fax you a release of liability, sign it, and go get a check. And the same day the jeweler told me that he wasn't going to do anything, that same jeweler gave me a check for $2,152.32 to replace the ring that he had ruined. Now, at that time, I turned around and called Michael back and said, tell me what you do for a living. And he said, we show people information, we let them get their questions answered, and then they make an informed decision. So I said, that's it? And he said, that's it. And I said, well, I've got a couple questions. And so he said, can you hang on a second? And then he put me on the phone with this guy named Dave Savola. And Dave actually, you know, I said, I got a couple questions. I asked two or three questions, and Dave said, listen, you're already a product of the product. He said, you know, you've already gotten a check. You're paying this small monthly fee, and you got this big check because you simply had access. You know the product works. He said, so if you really want to take a look at this and see if this is what you're looking for, don't try to piecemeal it together. Come to a live event and take a full look. That way you can see who we are, what we do, how we're compensated for those people who elect to do it, and the timing behind where we are. So I was literally broke. I had a little bit of money on credit cards. I maxed out a ticket because his next event that he invited me to was in Orlando, Florida, and I was living in Orange County, California. So I flew to Orlando, and as soon as the meeting was over, we went and had dinner together. And we didn't have PowerPoints back then. We had a corporate black and white brochure that Dave would turn the pages and tell the story, and then a whiteboard that he would draw out the compensation plan. So at dinner that evening after the event, I asked Dave how long he'd been with the company and how much he was making. He'd been there 3 years, made $1.2 million. And I said, how do you make $1 million marketing such a low-priced product? And he said, Larry, there's five keys to success. And I said, what are they? And he said, 15 minutes, show, you may or may not be interested, do two a day and attend a weekly meeting. And I said, what does that mean? He said, when you approach people, ask them if they have about 15 minutes, because everybody has about 15 minutes. Tell them there's something important you'd like to show them. And then tell them they may or may not be interested so they don't feel like you're trying to sell them something. He said, do two presentations a day and attend a weekly meeting. And I said, why the two a day? And he said, because if you do two a day, in 30 days, you'll have done 60 of them. And you'll have posture, whether the people you're talking to say yes, no, or anything else. If you do two a day, in 30 days, you'll have done 60, and you'll have posture, and you'll start increasing the results, and then attend the weekly meeting every week, 52 weeks out of the year. And so, you know, when I looked at him, I kind of said, Dave, it can't be that simple to make $1 million. And he kind of laughed at me, and he said, then why don't you go try it your way? Well, on my plane back to California, I realized that the more memberships that I wrote, the more money he made. And if he was the number one income earner, why would he tell me anything to slow down my progress when he made money every time a membership was a result of me or my team? So I realized that I was just going to do it his way until until I got to $1 million in income. And then if I want to change something, I would. And, of course, way before I got to my $1 million in income, I realized why his plan worked so well. And it's really no different today. But here's what's important is that we have to understand, as I heard Teresa and Frank and Eddie, I think it was Eddie earlier, that we're saying that, you know, we get paid when people buy a membership. We don't get paid to recruit people. We get paid when people buy a membership. But the reality of it is the more people we recruit, the more memberships that are registered with the company. Therefore, the more memberships registered, the more money that flows through the company's sales force. So if you have a whole lot of leverage, then you can make a whole lot of money for work that you don't do. For instance, the 20 years I spent in corporate jobs, when the company I worked for closed down, 100% of my income was dependent on me being at work. So I didn't have any leverage in my life. Last year in 2015, making well over $500,000 a year, 97.7% of me and Donnie's income came from work we didn't do. And what I realized is wealth is not based on how much money you make when you are working. Wealth is based on how much money you make when you're not working. And you guys are really fortunate because you got a great bunch of leaders in this team. And I will tell you, I heard Frank say that they learned a lot from me. I've learned way more from Frank than he's learned from me. I mean, every time I go out there, he's got his little 3x5 cards and he's jotting out stuff and my mind is taken in. I'm journaling stuff and I'm training on it every chance I get because of how much knowledge Frank has on wealth creation. And all I've done is surrounded myself with the people who had the lifestyle I wanted and just always understood the importance of the master is forever the student. You don't ever get to where you don't pull out your journal and take notes. I don't care if it's a person speaking that makes less money than you do or more money than you do, because you can learn from everybody, because what those nuggets are that we journal is more of our belief, more of our posture. And I may say something today that you may say, I like the way he said that. And Teresa may say something tomorrow that you say, I like the way she said that. You don't want to become Teresa and you don't want to become me. You want to be you and everything that God made you to be, but you can take little nuggets from various people that allow you to get your posture to where when you have posture, you're invincible. You know, people say all the time to us, you know, you're a $500,000 income earner, you're a platinum council member. I bet everybody says yes to you. And I kind of laugh and I said, listen, I promise you, I've gotten a whole lot more no's than you have. The only difference is I don't care, because I realize it's all a process of going through the system. We realize that this isn't right for everybody, but we're looking for the people that are right for it. And so you have to, first of all, understand, you know, while we're fortunate to have a business model that allows people to make six-figure incomes, even $250,000 incomes, just from selling our product, and that's a beautiful thing, wouldn't you like to be overriding those people that are doing that, right? So we understand that recruiting is the lifeblood, because it's how you market more memberships within your organization. And the more people that you recruit and the more people you get into production, then the more money that you can actually earn and the more leverage you earn, which gives you time and money, and that results in freedom, which results in lifestyle. I mean, in October, Rip Mason, through his chairman's trip, was kind enough to take all the Platinum Council members to Rome for 5 days. But Donnie and I, we'd talked about Italy ever since we got married, and she made me promise her on our 10th wedding anniversary, I would take her to Italy for 2 weeks. And I said, deal. And so when Rip announced that the chairman's award was going to be in Rome, we'd only been married 9 years, and I went, yes, free airfare, right? So I figured as long as they were going to pay for our flights over, why wouldn't I go ahead and just take her for those 2 weeks? So we spent 16 days in Italy, and we had a ball. I mean, we did everything you can imagine, from riding riverboats up to Lake Como, up from town to town, and getting off and eating at all these different restaurants, and going up to Bellagio and Villa di Siesta, and just all these different places, and just seeing this beautiful, going to Florence and going to Venice and you know, just to Rome and all the different places that we got to visit. And yet we made more money while we were there spending money than what we made with the amount of money we spent. So that you couldn't do that if you didn't have leverage. So the leverage brings a lifestyle, and that's why we all have to understand that recruiting is the lifeblood. I want you to think about this. I have people on my team that just write group, and the only thing I caution them against is, remember, even when you're writing group, is if you're the only person writing business, the day that you stop, there's no new business going into your business. So even though it's going to take a while, the only way your income can go is down because there's no new business going in. But the reason that so many of us, Frank and Teresa and Ron and Norman, all the leaders are lifting people up is because we want them making so much money that they can't afford to quit. Because when they have that type of attitude, that type of income, that's when you create financial security. Because here's what I know today. If something happened to me today, and I certainly don't intend for that to happen, but imagine when you have ringers and millionaire club members on your team, even if something happens to you, even though I stop producing, they don't work for me. So they're not going to quit what they're doing because they're building their own independent business. And with that vision, you understand that even though I'm dead and gone, they might miss me for a day or two, my family's income continues to grow because they're not going to stop. But if you're the only one writing business in your business, then when you stop writing because there's no new income that can come into your business, the only way your income can go is down. So even if you're going to write group and you love group, go out and recruit a bunch of groupies and field train them because of how good you are, and always have somebody there that's writing business when you're not writing business to where you know the income keeps coming in. So that all boils down to one word and one word only, and it's called recruiting, right? And so it's not just about recruiting, but a lot of people get turned off at the word recruiting. And James Rousseau says, if you don't like the word recruiting, use the words talent acquisition, right? I don't have any problem telling people that I'm a recruiter for a national company because I want them to know I'm looking for talent or talent acquisition, whichever way you want to go. But some people think that's a negative word. And if you think about it, we recruit all the time. I mean, real estate brokers recruit real estate agents. Insurance brokers recruit insurance agents. The NFL, the NBA, they're always recruiting people. The military, the strongest force in our government, is recruiting people all the time. Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, National Guard, you know, the Coast Guard, they're always recruiting people. So you have to learn to love the concept of recruiting, but you also have to know there's numbers associated with it. That means it's not always going to turn out the way you want it, but you have to understand the only thing that you need to recruit is people, and you'll never, ever run out of them. You'll never run out of the only thing you need to grow your recruiting is people, and remembering that you can't control what they do. The only thing you can control is what you do. And I've seen people who recruited people, and those people didn't do anything, and then the person stopped recruiting. So they're letting the other people decide their future instead of them making a decision about what that future looks like and saying, I don't care what they do. I'm going to keep recruiting no matter what. So let's talk about recruiting for a few minutes here. And I'm not, there's so many great people out here that are great recruiters that I certainly am not going to try to tell you that I'm the best recruiter in the company by any stretch of the imagination. But I'll tell you this. I do the activity. I just recruited a guy from Oregon today. I was out in Oregon a couple of, I'm going to say 5 weeks ago doing a Super Saturday, met a guy, recruited him today, right? And the thing that you need to know about recruiting is you don't want to assault people. And that's where Dave comes up with the 15-minute show you may or may not be interested, because he says you don't want to assault people. You don't want to push on people, because if you push on people, their natural tendency is to push back. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So what Dave always taught us is to build a relationship with people, right? This isn't going to be a one-call close 95% of the time. You're always going to find people that see it, and the minute they see it, they get it, and they're in. But that's not the norm. The norm is multiple exposures before someone makes that decision. So what you want to do is build a relationship with them, have them become friends, get them to know, like, and trust you so that as you progress with the exposure process, you're developing a relationship and they can see that you have an interest in them. They're just not a number on your scoreboard. So you know, I want you to understand that there's a lot of different ways to do this. I've asked Teresa to kind of role play with me tonight and kind of let you see. She'll kind of throw some scenarios at me, because people always ask me for a script. And if you have a script, then you are scripted, right? And if you learn just to engage with people, and you can read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, just learn how to engage with people and get them to know, like, and trust you, and everything else kind of happens without putting pressure on them or them feeling like you're just using them. So, you know, I've always liked the thing that if you can help me with this, I can make it profitable for you. That's one of my favorite little sayings. Like, when I'm asking people to help me expand my market in a given area, I say, listen, if you can help me with this, because I'm new out here, I can certainly make it profitable for you. So, you know, it's some of the language we use. But, Teresa, why don't we just have a little fun and do a little role-playing here for a couple of minutes and let you just kind of ask any such scenario you might want to find yourselves in and see if I can help with this.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Let's see, Larry, let's say that you and I go to the same Starbucks and we've said hi to each other and we've had some conversation, and I know a little bit about your family, you know a little bit about my family, and so, you know, I would say that we have built a relationship to, you know, to an acquaintance extent, and I like you and trust you and vice versa. So one day we meet up there, and because I'm doing work there, I'll use my laptop, and you do too, in Starbucks. What would you say to me?
Go ahead. Teresa.
What would you say to me to actually get me in your pipeline, if you will?
Sure. The first thing I do is obviously just say, "Hey, Teresa, how you doing?" You know, we would sit down together, and I would say, you know, you and I have been talking for a while, and but we really never talked a lot in detail about, you know, what you do and where you see your future as you move through the years. Tell me more about your future and where you see it today doing what you're doing.
Okay, so...
she's married to a wonderful guy.
I would say that, you know, I'm really not stuck in any particular career at the moment. I really haven't found my niche yet.
Okay, so is it safe to assume, Teresa, that that's the case, that if you found some other options that might come available that could actually supplement your income from what you're doing now without interfering with what you're doing now, would you be open to look at some information?
Well, sure I would.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to do. I'm not sure that what I've got is something that you'd have an interest in or not, but a lot of people are very interested in what our company is doing. We're growing leaps and bounds. I'm always looking for sharp people, but I'm selective in the people that I choose. So what I'd like to do is the first thing is just get some information to you. And the way I'd like to do that, instead of trying to explain it to you, the way I'd like to do that is just ask you to just complete this little app on my phone right here where I can email some information to you. And what I do is I just pull up my Prospect by Legal Shield app, I click on the contact edition, and I turn around and I hand it to them. And they type in, I already know her name's Teresa Coyne, so she just types in Teresa Coyne, her email address and her phone number, and then I go down and go next and click the campaign of opportunity. And when I'm sitting there with her, I'll just say, so Teresa, I just sent you an email, and the first thing our system is going to do is just ask you to verify that that's your email address. Can you just grab your phone real quick and check for that email? She's going to
gotcha.
Say yes.
Yes, I can.
And I turn around and say, great, could you just go ahead and verify that link for me? When the minute she does that, she's in the system. So I haven't asked her, because she doesn't really know. If I say, give me your name and phone number, I'll follow up with you. Sometimes that's almost like push it on people. I'll just say, listen, you know, if you're open to looking, what I'd like to do is just get some information from you to see if it's something we should talk further about. So if you'd be kind enough just to fill out this information right here, I can go ahead and shoot you an email that'll start that information for you. And then I just have her put it in. I push the opportunity campaign. I push, you know, submit. She turns around. I say, well, if you don't mind, go ahead and grab your phone and just go ahead and verify that's your address. And then as soon as you'll get a video, it's 9 minutes long. As soon as you get it, you'll get some information. And then when we're back in here next week, let's sit down and talk about some of the information you've had the opportunity to see. And it depends on, like, if I'm not going to see her next week, if I see her every week in Starbucks, then I don't mind saying that. If I'm not gonna, if I've seen her once, I'm not gonna say that because I may never see her in Starbucks again. So again, that's why you can't script it. You just have to know how to communicate with people. So that's the way I do it, Teresa. And then of course, you know, Prospect by Legal Shield does a great job of following up. It shows when they click on the link. When they click on the link, you know, if especially as you watch their activity, I can call back and I don't ever want to say, hey, Teresa, I know you just watched a video, because then you become a stalker, right? But you can wait a few minutes after they've clicked on that link and you can just turn around and say, hey, call her and just say, hey, Teresa, listen, I was just thinking about you and I wanted to make sure you were getting the information I'd sent you. And she'd probably say, yeah, I just got through actually watching a video. I said, oh, great, great. What did you find most attractive about the information you've seen so far? Right? So I'm just trying to move her through the process. I'm not trying to close her the minute I get a chance.
Right.
I have myself, and I've seen people over the years, that if somebody gives you a three-second opening, we try to explain everything about Legal Shield in 3 seconds, and we give them just enough information to say, I don't ever want to talk about this ever again. Because we didn't give them a chance to get the information. So, Teresa, that's kind of how I would do the Starbucks situation.
That's great, and I love the way that you have the person that you're working with fill out their information on your phone on the Prospect app and then verify it when they get their email. I mean, that is genius, because that's not leaving anything to chance then. I think that's awesome. One more quick one.
And Teresa?
Yes, go ahead,
Teresa,
John.
This is John Gardner. While we're here, could he just tell them, I mean, most of us use Prospect, but how people on the phone who don't use it would go get it?
Absolutely.
On the website.
You just go back to your back office under Tools, click on Prospect by, I think it's under the Tools menu, click on Prospect by Legal Shield and download it. And you can go into your learning management system, go over to the top right-hand side of your links on your associate portal, the training site, go down to Learning Management System, LMS, and then you can go in and search for courses. And in the search bar, you can just type the word Prospect and click search, and it'll come up Prospect by Legal Shield. I think it's course 101.50, and there's a 30-minute training on Prospect by Legal Shield, which shows you how to use it. This is the greatest tool I've ever seen in my Legal Shield career to help us do a much better job of keeping people in play, because it's real easy, especially after you follow up 2 or 3 times, to think people aren't interested, and you let them go. And then you stop following up with them, and later on somebody down the road recruits them. So this is something that will keep them in front of the information, and it doesn't assault them with information. It just keeps it dripping on them for up to 2 years, so, you know, unless they unsubscribe out of it. So it's a great tool, big help, keeps you a lot of people in play. Thanks for the question, John.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. And I think that's copyable, and it's duplicatable, and everybody can do it. And one of the neat things is when people come back 4 or 6 weeks later, you know, you've forgotten about them. And then when they click on one of the videos and watch it, you get immediate notification. So even if you've forgotten about it, the system reminds you.
Absolutely. And probably the coolest thing is that, you know, you're not constantly bugging people. You know what I mean? You have the system softly keeping them informed, and they're the ones that have to click opt out in order to be unsubscribed. So it's a great tool. If you're not using it, of course, you have to have Legal Shield Advantage to have it. And if you don't have Legal Shield Advantage, real honestly, I'm just convinced you don't understand what Legal Shield Advantage is. Teresa, you want to do another one real quick?
Yeah, you mentioned one that I know I've heard Frank use quite a bit before, too, about expanding your business in their area. So if, let's say that you were traveling and you're sitting by somebody on the airplane, or maybe it's somebody that you met at a hotel that you were staying at and somebody gave you great service, how would you approach me in that case?
You know, that this is exactly what happened with this guy I just recruited from Oregon. You know, I met him at the hotel, and we were just conversing about, So you live here, or are you traveling? And he said, no, because Oregon, you know, a lot of people come into hotels that actually live there. And he said, no, I'm from a different area. And I said, whereabouts? And so we started talking. I just started asking him about him. I said, so what do you do for a living? You know, how long have you been doing that? You know, and I like asking things like, what do you love most about your career? I love asking that, because some people will flat out say, nothing. I hate it. And that just totally
yeah.
gives you the opening to say, so if that's the case, obviously you're not happy. Would you be open to look at some information about some options that might be able to give you something better that you could like? You know, I mean, it's easy to say, and then again, you pull out your prospect by Legal Shield and say, just type this information in here. I'll be happy to send it to you. Matter of fact, why don't you grab your phone real quick and just verify that I've got your email right? So I mean, it's such a simple process, but what happened was I just talked about him, and he said, how about you? What do you do? And I always like to just say, I represent one of the most exciting growth companies in the nation called Legal Shield, and I'm a national recruiter for them. You know, and they said, Legal Shield, what is that? You know, and I like to just say, I'd love to get you some information, but just let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone before? And they always laugh and they go, all the time. And I say, what do you do about it, honestly? And they say, nothing. And I said, if you knew you could pick up the phone and call your attorney and have them have your back and you never got a bill for that from that law firm, would you call an attorney? And he said, all the time. I said, let me get some information to you. So what I try to do in my exposure process is not do a presentation on Legal Shield, but create curiosity for them, give them a glimpse of the end result, and then get information to them. Because the most important thing is that when you prospect, when you're approaching a prospect, the training that we give them starts immediately at that point. It mm-hmm. can't go, you know, everything we're doing, we're training them. So if you're telling them all about it, they're saying, I don't have the time or the energy to learn all that. But if you're giving them a system that they can duplicate, then it works. And so that's how I recruited this guy. It took about 5 weeks to get that done. And that's fine because I just kept watching him, looking at videos and stuff. And this morning he texted me and said, I'll be ready at noon today. And I said, great. I know all time's up. So let me close with one last thing here, Teresa and Frank.
Sure.
I want to talk about Oklahoma City for a minute because obviously we got some exciting things. And listen, you haven't heard anything like you're going to hear in Oklahoma City. And listen, I've seen people who didn't go to convention. I see people who did. And the ones that did always build a much bigger business than ones that don't. When Michael Dorsey, my third month in the business, Michael Dorsey told me that I had to attend a convention. I said, Michael, I'm broke. I can't afford to go. And he said, that'll be your excuse why you won't or your reason why you will. And I said, what do you mean? Some people say I'm broke. I can't afford to go, which is their excuse why they don't. Some people say I'm broke. I can't afford to go, which is a reason why they will because they realize what they're doing isn't going to take them where they wanted to go. I turned around. I couldn't afford to go, but I figured out a way to market some memberships and go. And even though I slept in a sleeping bag in somebody else's hotel room floor and I had a backpack full of water bottles and granola bars and peanuts, I was at that convention because I couldn't afford to eat at the restaurants. And when Harlan Stonecipher, our founder, stood on the stage and told his closing speech and said, this will become a household name and now is the time, I believed him. And I came back home. And I turned around and quit both my part-time jobs, drew a line in the sand, and 6 months later started making $10,000 a month and never made less than that my 20 years in the company. So don't ever underestimate the importance of you being in Oklahoma City and, more importantly, having your team there with you as well. This year, I promise you, you're going to hear some announcements that are going to send you out of there. You won't need a plane home. Frank, Teresa, appreciate your friendship. John, Norm, Ron, just appreciate you all very much and appreciate your leadership. Sorry I went a little bit long, Teresa, but I'll turn it back over to you to wrap up.
This was a godsend to all of us, Larry Smith. Elizabeth and I sitting here just shaking our head. God, he's good. you were absolutely wonderful. And let me tell everybody, and then, Larry, I want you to make one more comment about the convention.
Sure.
He told you that, I mean, this is a guy from the Platinum World Council. He knows things he can't talk about. And this is an absolutely, I think, critical time. I think the company is about to explode. I believe the company is going to become a household name. I believe it will start from this convention. I believe now, I mean, the person who's going to make the most money in this company may not even be in it yet because of the amount of explosion we're going to have. Larry, just sort of tease us a little more with why people should be at the convention.
Well, first of all, I can tell you, and you're right, John, there's things I can't say, and I'd love to be able to say some things, but I want you just to picture sitting in a convention where there might be one little thing that's keeping you from literally exploding in your business, and you may not even know what it is. Whatever that issue is, I promise you, at this convention, you're going to hear things that are going to be announced that will trigger your desire to change your life forever. I'd love to be able to tell you this, but I'm telling you, I've been here 20 years, and just like Frank and Teresa and probably John Elizabeth, I'm sure as well, you know, we don't have to do this anymore. We've done very well. We've done well with our money. We don't have to do this anymore, but I'm telling you, the only thing I'm mad about, I'll be 65 in August, and I'm going to Medicare. I mean, I'm going like, oh, my God, that just sounds so old, but I feel so young. But I will tell you this, the only thing I'm mad about is that I'm not 45 instead of 65, because these next 20 years, you talk about changing people's lives. Jeff Bell's vision, a vision 2020, growing 10 times the size in the next 5 years, I can tell you with the things we're doing, it's as real as him talking about it, and you just simply cannot afford not to be there. It's not about whether you want to or not, you can't afford not to, because you can't miss the things that are going to be released, and you've got to be there real time to be able to truly understand the power of it.
All right.
Larry, thank you so much. We're all excited. You are phenomenal.
Absolutely.
As always.
Larry, well, I follow people like you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, me. Now, I'll tell you what, this was empowering, phenomenal. You're just right on, and I agree with John. I mean, it is what we needed tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah, John and Liz are working hard as I've ever seen them work. So
yeah,
anyway.
I know they are. They're crushing it out there too.
Yes, they are.
They really are. And this has been a great call, Larry. One more time, thank you. You're welcome to stay on for a second, but just want to say to the whole team, this is Frank and Teresa and John Elizabeth Gardner and Larry Smith.
And Corey Muhammad.
And Susan Osha and all the rest of them that helped with this thing, and Ronnie and Norma Crusher. We thank all of you for preparing for this thing tonight. That was 913, I think. We're going to be back on here next week, and I don't know if it'll be as good as tonight because Larry's not going to be on here. But by God, we'll have somebody on that'll rattle your cage.
No, yeah. Thank you, Larry, so much. Tell Donnie, hey, for us and your family.
All right. Hey, listen, everybody.
I will. By the way, Frank, one last comment. You can laugh about me and Donnie all you want, and you're right. I definitely have gotten a lot better since Donnie's been in my life, but that goes for both of us. Don't forget.
That is great.
Yeah.
You will all get to see Donnie later on, I'm sure, so you'll understand how true Larry's words were.
Oh, Lord.
I love it.
All right, guys. Listen, we'll talk to y'all later. Thanks a lot for being on the call, and we appreciate each and every one of you.
Have a great week, y'all.
Good night now.
Thank y'all. Bye-bye.
Good night. Thanks, Larry.
Bye, John. Bye, everybody.